The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, 'You will become free'?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our gospel today, John 8, 31 to 36, is our sermon text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when Martin Luther started the Reformation in 1517, what did he imagine that the church would look like when he was done? What was the goal toward which he was taking those who were willing to follow his lead? Was he simply reacting against the things that were there at the church at the time that he thought was wrong? Or did he have a new vision of what the church could and should be? Our gospel lesson expresses what Martin Luther had in mind when he attacked the Pope and the doctrines of the Catholic Church. Jesus said in verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That, in a nutshell, is what the Reformation was all about, as far as Luther was concerned. Luther wanted the church to remain in Jesus' word, without adding to it, without deleting from it, or altering that word, so that the church would be the true church of Jesus, so that the church would know and proclaim the truth, and so that Christians would be free from sin and its powers and effects. Martin Luther envisioned the church as a people, not an international political power, which is what it had become under the papacy. Nor did he see it as a department of the government, which is what it became in most of those states in Europe, or a not-for-profit organization, as is what it is today in the United States. Luther wrote these memorable words in his small called Articles, which are in the Book of Concord, by the way, which say, "Thank God, even a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, namely, holy believers and sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd." What do they believe that makes them holy? They believe God's holy word. Where do they hear the voice of their shepherd? They hear it in God's holy word. So Martin Luther envisioned the church as a people of the word. Although Protestants claimed Martin Luther as the founder of their type of religion, and almost all of them did that, not all of them accepted his vision of what the church should be. Chief among these was King Henry VIII of England. Henry was king. But he found that his sovereign will over affairs in England was thwarted by the Pope through the cardinals and bishops and abbots and clergy. The Pope refused to annul Henry's marriage to Catherine of Aragon, but the Pope had granted annulments for many other kings and princes. Well, that didn't seem fair. This demonstrated to Henry that the Pope was only concerned about manipulating kings and nations to his own unholy purposes, not unlike the Emperor in the Star Wars movie, who uses characters in the movie like a chess player uses his pieces. In King Henry VIII's mind, the church should be a department of the Christian government, governed by the Christian king. The purpose of the church for Henry was to guide the religion, the morals, the worship services, and behavior of the people for their own good, and of course for the good of the kingdom. If the religion, morals, and worship or behavior of the Christian king changed, well, then the church, that's all the people, would have to change too. These were the basic ideas of the Anglican Church, which were adopted by almost all of the Protestant state churches in Europe by the end of the 16th century. Even the Lutheran churches were governed by their princes, or kings, in some of the Scandinavian countries. Today, the British monarch is still the supreme governor of the Church of England and is titled Defender of the Faith. Queen Elizabeth II sits on that throne. Henry's idea of the state church was soon contested by many. Although King Henry dissolved the monasteries and stopped the payment of offerings to Rome, in many ways, Henry's religion was still Catholic. When he died, his crown passed to his daughter Mary, Bloody Mary, by the way, and she was Catholic. And she put a lot of people to death, as can be seen in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Her successor, Queen Elizabeth I, established a religious compromise that was too Catholic for the people that were known as the Puritans. Similar to Luther's idea of the church, the Puritans were inspired by the idea of a church purely reformed according to the Word of God. Many of them were unable to live in peace with the king's church in England, even though it had become Protestant. So they sailed to the shores of North America to found the colonies of Plymouth, New Haven, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire. In due time, the Puritans founded the Puritan colleges of Harvard, Yale, and Dartmouth, chiefly to prepare pastors who would teach their congregations purely, that is, purely according to the Word of God. After the American Revolution, the idea of religious liberty became dominant, with the result that these states disestablished their churches from 1790 to 1833. All of the European lands that claimed Luther's theology in the 16th century adopted some form of state church government. And that worked out fine, as long as the princes and kings agreed with the Bible and Luther's theology. But when in the 19th century, the princes started to support the theology of rationalism, which came from philosophers, and the practices of unionism, the people of the word resisted. Some stayed in Germany and Scandinavia and started free churches that still exist today. Others immigrated to the United States and Australia, where religious liberty was the official law. Our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was founded in 1847 by people who steadfastly adhered to Luther's vision of the church as a people of the word. Some were immigrants who settled in St. Louis and Perry County, Missouri, to escape the rationalism of the Saxon king. Some were immigrants who settled in Frankenmuth in Saginaw County, Michigan, to escape the unionism of the Bavarian Protestant Church. Some were immigrants who settled near Milwaukee, near Buffalo, New York, and Central Texas to escape the unionism and other errors of the Prussian king. Many were pastors who could not obtain positions in the German churches because they believed in the Word of God and in Luther's theology, and that was being put down in those states. The question then comes to us here at Grace Lutheran Church in San Mateo after we have been here almost 100 years in this place. Are we people of the Word? Do we live up to Luther's vision of a church that is ruled and guided solely by God's Word in the Holy Scriptures? Does the truth of God's Word set us free from sin and all its powers and effects? Now, I can't answer those questions for you as individuals or as families. I know that I try my best to preach and teach according to the Holy Scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. I know that we administer the sacraments here in the way that Jesus ordained them. And I know that other aspects of our life together in this congregation is in accord with the gospel and the Holy Scriptures. But I can't answer the question of whether you are a person of the Word. I can't answer the question whether you still believe the Word that you once accepted in baptism and confirmation. I can't answer the question of whether you believe all the truth that the Word of God reveals. I can't answer the question of whether you have found the true spiritual freedom that comes through the forgiveness of sins. Only you can answer those questions for yourself. I hope that you ask yourselves these questions this week as we again observe the Reformation. I hope you discover that when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.